Okay, so back in Yerideya over here. So let's pick up in Yerideya. So we're moving from the first part of Not Bar Not to the second part of Not Bar Not. So the first part of Not Bar Not was just the basic principles and the basic idea of using fleshik pots for food that for power food that you're going to use with milchiks and vice versa. Good. Now we're going to move into the section that discusses washing dishes. Now we're not going to actually get to practical washing dishes the way it's done in our homes today. Be'ezus Hashem, that will be on Sunday. We're going to lay the groundwork based on what appears in Shulchan Aruch today. But before we get to that, there is something that the poskim discuss, that the Nosei Kelim over here discuss, that bears mentioning. They point out what seems to be a stira in the Ramah between Simen Sadi Dalid and Simen Sadi He. The Ramah and Simen Sadi Dalid Si'if He tells us that if you recall, kedera shebishlu ba yirakos or mayim, you have a kedera that you cooked yirakos or mayim, something parut. V'tachvu ba kaf ben yomo, and you put a ben yomo spoon into that kedera. V'kedera ain a bas yomo, but the kedera is not a bas yomo. Ola hapich, or whichever one. One is a ben yomo, one's not a ben yomo. O sheyesh b'machul shishim hakol shari, then everything's going to be motor. V'nogin lahachmir lechol hamachol k'min hakli shehu ben yomo, and the minhag is that the food that you had in that pot should be eaten with the same gender of food as the ben yomo kli. So if you had a ben yomo fleshik pot and an eno ben yomo milchik spoon that went in, so that coffee or that water, or that those vegetables should only be eaten with fleishik, should not be eaten with milchik. And then the Rama says, "Veinu alachumr be'alma ki medina kol shari." That the whole thing is only really chumr be'alma, because minadin everything is going to be mutter. Meaning minadin, there's no problem whatsoever. So you put a milchik eno ben yomo spoon into a fleishik ben yomo pot that's filled with vegetables. The pot, the spoon, and the vegetables are all mutter miyikra din. So said the Rama back in Simen Sadi Dalid. So, and the explanation is, as we learned and as is clear, Badei Shulchan says it very nicely. He writes in Sivkat Nunches, Aval Achshav Shechem Mehem Einu Ben Yomo, since one of these things is Einu Ben Yomo, either the pot or the spoon, Ukugon Shakadera Bas Yomo, Vakaf Einu Ben Yomo, take for example, if the pot is a Ben Yomo and the spoon is Einu Ben Yomo, Hakol Mutar Medina. Everything's Mutar Gmoshkos Ravavis Hamuch. Why? Shetam Achol Shabak Kaf in Yochel Esar. The tam of the chalav in the kaf, the tam of the milk in the spoon, that's an Eino Ben Yomo. Can't ask for anything. Kimet Sheino Ben Yomo. V'lachain, gam tam habasar shebegedera hanichnas derech atav shilotoch hakaf Eino Osarto. So the tam of the basar is not going to ask for the kaf because do not parnata atera. That's not parnata atera. Dainu min habasar legedera min hagedera letav shil misham lekaf. V'ha dayin heter. So the pot's not going to become asar because the flavor in the spoon is pogum. Certainly doesn't have the capacity to aser the pot. The spoon doesn't become aser because even though it may absorb some time of basar, that's only through nat parnata atera. The pot got the flavor from the meat. The pot gave the meat the flavor to the meat. Meat gave the flavor to the pot. Then the pot gives that meat flavor to the water, and then the spoon gets that weak meat flavor from the water. And when the spoon gets weak meat flavor from the water, the spoon itself doesn't have a strong milchik flavor because the spoon itself is Eino Ben Yomo, so everything's gemutter. And the vegetables, so that's where the Ramah gets interesting. And the Ramah says, you should be machmir. Don't eat the vegetables with dairy, because the Ben Yomo pot was fleishik, so you eat the vegetables with parav or with fleishik. So the shach, if you recall, is all chazar, the shach back in Simen Sadi Talud, Sivkat and Yuches asks that the Ramah over here in Sadi Hei Beis seems to be against this. Because what does the Ramah say? V'yesh machmirim b'tzliya u'bishul lesser not barnat. V'aminag lesser l'chadchila. That you're not allowed to eat the vegetables with dairy me'ikar adin. Meaning, forget about the milchik spoon. You cooked vegetables in a ben yomo fleishik pot. Right, so what is that? Those vegetables? So those vegetables are not barnat, right? And what did the Rama say? Yesh machmirin. Don't have that with if you cook pasta in a ben yomo fleshik pot, don't put cheese on that pasta. You're not allowed to eat the pasta or the vegetables with cheese. And not just a chumrah. Meaning the vegetables are not banat. So from a fleshik pot. So according to the Ramah, you can't add dairy to something that's not banat fleshiks. So why does the Ramah say over here that it's only say in tzadi dalid that it's only a chumrah not to add dairy, when in tzadihei he seems to say that that's the halacha? So the because of that issue, because of that problem, the Shach changes the gears in the Ramah. So instead of it saying v'noag in lahachmir lechol hamachol kimin hakli shehu ben yomo kimin hakli shehu ben yomo, it should say v'noag in lahachmir lechol hamachol bimin hakli shehu ben yomo. What did he change? You should be machmir to eat the vegetables in a ben yomo, in a plate that has the same status as the ben yomo. Meaning, if you cook these vegetables in a fleshik pot, a fleshik ben yomo pot, when you eat those vegetables plain, without mixing the cheese, of course you're not going to mix with cheese. That's the halacha in Simchas Torah. Hey, you're not allowed to mix with cheese. So when you eat those vegetables without mixing with cheese, chas v'shalom, you would never mix with cheese. But make sure you don't even put them on a melachik plate. That's the minug lahachmir, to not even put it on a fleshik plate. So you should be machmir to eat the vegetables, or tadafka put them on the fleshik plate. I forget which way we're going, right? Fleshik ben yomo pat, that the vegetables were cooked in. So dafka, put those vegetables on a fleshik plate. Do not put those vegetables on the milchik plate. But it goes without saying, of course you can't have the vegetables with milchik food. That's the Shach's first way of resolving this Ramah. But even after that, it's still a contradiction, right? It's still not going to work. Why? Because the Raman, Sadihei Beis, says over here, Avalitnan b'kli shalem, mutar lichatchila v'cheinagu. So the Ramah was very clear that as far as using, taking a not barnat pasta and putting it into a kli of the other min, that's mutar lichatchila v'cheinagu. It's mutar, and that's what we do. So how come in Sadi Dalet, hey, the Ramah says that we should be machmir? Granted, he said it's not meikra din, but he did recommend, he said midina kol shari, it's einu el chumra bi'alma, but he did say that that's what we do, that that's the chumra. So it still seems to be a bit of a stira. Is this something that is part of what's the minhag? Is the minhag to when you cook pasta in a fleshig ben yomo pot, is the minhag not to eat it on a milchik dish, on a milchik plate, or is the minhag to eat it on a milchik plate? So that's still a stira in the Ramah. So the Shach recognizes this, and he gives two different explanations. Number one, he says, really, you're allowed to put the para food on a dairy plate, even l'chachila, but there's some more machmir, and that's what the Ramah was quoting in Sadi Daladei. Meaning, that's why he said, it's not meikra din, einu el chumra bi'alma is not a complimentary term, einu el chumra bi'alma is a way of saying, it's ridiculous, that it's too much, that this is not, and the real minhag, the legitimate minhag, the proper minhag, is to not be concerned about this at all. Or, says the Shach, you could put the power food on a dairy plate when it was cooked in a fleshik pot, even l'chadchila. But when we're dealing with a fleshik ben yomo pot and an eino ben yomo milchik spoon, that's what changes it. So if we allow you to place the vegetables on a milchik plate, people will think that a small spoon can never forbid the contents of a pot, even if it's a ben yomo spoon. Meaning people aren't going to chap. There's a harchaka that was, meaning you have to remember, the case in Sadi Dalet is not the same as the case in Sadi Hei. In Sadi Hei, there's no spoon. In Sadi Hei, it's just pasta cooked in a fleshik ben yomo pot. So we're talking about not barnat. In Simchas Torah Dalet, it was pasta cooked in a fleshik ben yomo pot, and then you stuck a milchik spoon into it. Right, that was the case in Sadi Dalet. So in Sadi Dalet, because there was a spoon involved, and there's that might open up confusion about the potential impact of a spoon and whether a little spoon could ever do anything. And people might think that even if it's ben yomo and even if you don't have shishim or whatever, that a spoon just a spoon is nothing. It's just a spoon. It's not going to do anything. So in order to be choshesh for that, that's where a minhag developed not to put it in such a plate. The Shach says it is a chashash rachok, but nevertheless, that's the chumra that's suggested. Rabbi Reisman has a thing that he says in all of his shiurim, every single shiur, he always says, so this is mutter and your wife will never let you do it. Meaning, this is like, that's like a refrain that he has. So I could say, b'didi hava uvda, on Tuesday nights, in our house, it's guaranteed not fleshig night, right? Tuesday nights and Thursday nights, guaranteed not fleshig. So I can eat my deli salad, whatever. I can't eat my deli salad too late in the day, or whatever, you know, my chicken salad too late in the day, because very often it's going to be milk. So I got it, so I plan it out. So on a Tuesday night, my wife made salmon, and I put it on, I decided we ran out of paper plates or something, so I took an actual dish. I put it on a milchik dish, and she said, what are you doing? Don't you see that? Oh, no, it was salmon with quinoa. So the quinoa was cooked in a fleshik pot, and I put the hot quinoa on a milchik plate. So my wife was very upset at me. She said, what are you doing? How could you put the quinoa on a milchik plate? So I said, I think it might be mutter. I think it's that's exactly this case. Quinoa is the same as pasta. Not brinata tera. It's even better, because chances are it was an ain't opinion of fleshig pot, right? It was a Tuesday night. The last time, she cooked something new fleshig in a pot like that was, definitely more than 24 hours ago. So it's not brinata tera, but even if it was a ben yomo pot. So there's nothing wrong. Even the chadchila, you're allowed to do it. So according to this second explanation of the shach, that if there was a spoon of the other min that was also part of the shayla, then maybe it would have been there would have been makom to be machmir, but otherwise there's no makom to be machmir. Okay, so but you do what your wife says. The Ramah in Sadi Dalarei also says to be machmir to kasher the enu ben yomo utensil, meaning either the spoon or the pot was enu ben yomo, right? One was ben yomo, one was enu ben yomo, so he says you should kasher the enu ben yomo one. So when you put an Eino Ben Yomo dairy spoon, let's say, into a Fleshig Ben Yomo pot with vegetables, kasher the spoon. So Badei Shulchan quotes the Taz over here in Sadihei Sif Katan Tes, where he says, Hatam to Mishum Maris Ayin. Now, why do I have to kasher the Eino Ben Yomo spoon? Everything's mutter. Why do I have to kasher the Eino Ben Yomo spoon? So he says, Maris Ayin, Dimikivin Shem Minog Lahachmir Ala Machel Shetavashel Shem Lo Ochlo Dafka B'minakli Shu Ben Yomo, because since the minig is to dafka eat the food with the same type that's Ben Yomo, with the same gender that's Ben Yomo, Shu B'sari V'lobikli Choliv Yizbar Aroa Shagama Kli Acholiv Esheno Ben Yomo Chashiva Tama Basar Shenichlas Tocho Ketam Alia. People are going to think, oh, it must have made everything fleshik. And so the chumrah started as a chumrah on the food and then turned into a chumrah on the kli as well. The spoon, of course, is mutter maker adin. We already explained why it's mutter maker adin. It's not barnat, so of course it's going to be mutter. The meat to the pot to the water to the spoon itself is einu ben yomo. However, we're machmir to kasher the spoon because of this marasayin issue. That's what he suggests. Since we're going to make you eat the vegetables on a fleshik plate, because that's the status of the ben yomo pot, so people will think that the spoon is fleshik also, and if you use it for dairy without kashering it, which is totally mutter, maker adin, marasayin. Okay, so that's just wanted to touch base on that Ramah, that potential steer in the Ramah that the Nosi Kelim talk about. So now let's get to washing dishes. First, we're going to talk about how washing dishes worked from a Shulchan Aruch perspective, from a Rishonim perspective. This is before they had running water, and the way they would access water and wash the day, before they had dishwashers, obviously. Although a dishwasher is closer to what it says in Shulchan Aruch than a sink is. But nevertheless, what they used to do is they would have a big cauldron, like a big giant pot. They'd fill it with water, they'd put it on the fire, and then when it got really hot, they'd throw all the dishes in, and they'd mix around the dishes, and the hot water would clean off the dishes, and then they would take out the dishes. I guess they would pour out all the water, they would take out the dishes, and everything would be clean-ish. Although we'll discuss, whether they had any soap or not, but for right now, for the purposes of our discussion at this point, soap hasn't entered the picture yet. So there's no Davar HaPo game, everything's Ben Yomo, right? There's just washing the dishes. Now, it's so fascinating that washing the dishes becomes a discussion in the sugya of not bar not, because l'chora, that's not your biggest problem if you're washing. Meaning, if I'm going to take that big cauldron and I'm going to throw milchiks and fleshiks dishes in there to wash, at the same time, l'chora, I have bigger problems than not bar not. Right? Why do I have bigger problems than not bar not? You have mamashas on the dishes. I mean, not barnadas, we have tam. I have mamashas on the dishes. What's my raya that I have mamashas on that there's mamashas on the dishes? Because I'm washing them. You don't wash clean dishes. You only wash dishes that have mamashas on them. Right? Unless someone just sam enjoys washing dishes like a hobby, but normally people don't do that. You're only going to wash with mamashas on them. So we're going to have to deal with that also. But leaving that aside, so the times of the Gemara showed them to take a big cauldron of hot water. So Tosfos and Chulin, Kufi Beza Meralev, and Dibra Maskel of the Hilchasab, and the sugi of not barnat makes the tushta. He connects washing dishes to not barnat. And he talks about washing milch and flesh dishes together, that this is a not barnat issue. The dishes only have blios that come into the water. That's the assumption, for whatever reason, that there's just blios that are coming into the water. So it seems to be not barnat. So everything, now, if it's really not barnat atera, that the blios from the meat went into the fleshig dish, now from the fleshig dish into the water, and only later it met up with the milchig dish, so that would be not barnat teter, everything should be mutter. But there are three fundamental differences, two that work in one direction, one that works in the other direction, between this and regular not barnat teter. Everything we've been saying up until now, with the cooking, the pasta, and the fleshig pot, that's not barnat teter. There are three fundamental differences between classic not barnat teter and washing dishes. First of all, there's the rivan, which we know well already, that not barnat doesn't work when it's derech bishul. Cauldron is a kli rishon, and it's derech bishul, right? It's all while it's cooking. It's not ala b'ka'ara. It's in a cauldron. So this is derech bishul. So if you hold like the rivan that there is no heter of not barnat in actual kli rishon, so then you have a problem over here. Do we hold like the rivan? So Shulchan Aruch, no. The Ramah, the Chachila, yes, right? So you'd have a problem if you hold like the rivan. So that's a tzad to say this is more chamur than regular not barnat. The Rush in Maseches Chulin says you can still apply not barnat, and it's even more kal than not barnat, because the case of not barnat is mixing the pariv with actual milk, meaning the pariv food, the dugim that had tam of basar through not barnat that was in them. What do you then do with those dugim? You sprinkle some cheese on it. What do you do with the pasta? You sprinkle cheese on the pasta. But by dishes, there was never any real milchig and fleishig that mix at all. Meaning, on either end, the basar b'chalav shayla that you're dealing with is a secondary blia together with another secondary blia. Because, again, assuming mamashos is not an issue over here. We're assuming you're washing clean dishes for whatever reason, that there's no mamashos issue. So all you have are blios of fleish that are somehow encountering blios of milchig. So you don't even, whereas the classic not barnat case is you cook pasta in a fleshig pot, and then you actually wanted to put cheese on that pasta. So at least at the tail end, you had cheese, you had actual milchig that it encountered. So that's what the Rush points out. This is better than not barnat. This is more kal than not barnat. On the other hand, we already had two hands. So on the third hand, the Sefer HaTrumah writes that it's worse than not barnat. Because the normal not barnat, it's all... The transfers of tam happen before there's any mixture. Over here, the two tamim are mixing together in the water as soon as the blios leave the dishes, right? So that's the Sefer Truma we learned about before also, meaning it's simultaneous. So it's not that you have the tam of the basar went into the pot, good, now it became fleshig pot. Then the tam of the basar from the pot went into the pasta. Good, so now you have not barnat teira of pasta. Then you took the pasta out of the pot and you put in cheese. That's one after the other. That would be not barnat. But over here, it's all being mixed around in the cauldron at the same time. So the transfers of tam by a regular not barnat, the transfer of tam happened before there's any meeting up of the milchig with the fleshig. Over here, the two tamim are mixing together in the water as soon as the blios leave the dishes. As soon as the blios are out of the dishes, they're encountering the blia of the other, the tam of the other min. That's also in the water. So that would be more like napranati isura, right? So says the Sefer HaTrumah. So there is a machlok rishonim how to deal with this. Meaning, what do we view this whole matzav, this whole situation as? So fleishig ben yom adish is cleaned in a milchig tub or a milchig cauldron, or a milchig and fleishig dish is cleaned together in a parav tub or whatever. So Shulchan Aruch and Sif Gimel passings like the Rush, that if the plates are clean, again, if the plates are clean, then it's going to be mutter, not barnat, right? However, the Shulchan Aruch acknowledges what the Rishonim point out, that no one washes clean plates. And therefore, if you have some food residue on the plates, you need to have shishim of water against the residue, because it's no longer a case of naparnat, because you're dealing with be'en, which would create basa b'chala. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch adds that this whole heter to say not by not by washing dishes, v'hu sheyomar bari li shelo haya shum shum and davek ben, that I know that there was nothing attached to the dishes, v'im haya shum and davek ben, sarik shev v'mayim shishim negen mamash shum and shal piyak ha'ara. And if there is, then you better make sure that you have shishim connected the mamashos. The other way of dealing with the mamashos is saying you always have shishim connected the mamashos, that the mamashos is so minimal by the time you put it in the cauldron, maybe they would scrape off any real mamashos, and whatever was left on the dishes was so minimal that the bigger concern was the blios, because blios, how do you measure blios? You don't know how much blios went in. You know, it's you don't know how much. So you always have to measure by the whole size of the kli. Whereas when it comes to the mamashos, if you see that the mamashos is so minuscule, so maybe you're always going to assume that you'll have shishim, or not assume, but you'll always practically, you'll almost always have shishim against the mamashos. Anyway, the Rama argues, and the Rama says, even leaving out the mamashos, even if it was perfectly clean kelim, like the smak, the smag, and the sefer truma, that all the plates are aser and they need to be kashered. You rinse clean benyomo dairy dishes with clean benyomo fleshig dishes in the same cauldron of water, filled with hot water. The kelim all need to be kashered. So why is that worse than regular naparnat? So the Taz quotes two explanations as to why that would be worse than regular naparnat. Right, the Taz and Sivkat and Ches. Yeah, the Taz and Sivkat and Ches quotes two explanations over here. It's not a terribly long Taz. Taima Mavur B'Tosos. First, he quotes Tosos. Taima Mavur B'Tosos. Delo Dami Ludagim Shalom B'Kara. This is not regular Naparnat. Deshayni Hacha Shaka Arus Nogos B'Machvas B'Nifla Tam Yizel Zev Avatam Sheni B'Iser. So first he says like Tosos, that in our case the plates most likely touch, and the flavor goes directly from the fleshic plate to the dairy plate without weakening. Meaning, dogim shalu bakara, the meat flavor got weakened when it entered the pan, and then a second time when it entered the fish, and only then do you want to eat it with dairy. But in our case, the meat and the milk flavor went into the dishes, and when the dishes touch each other, the flavors went directly into one another without weakening first. It goes directly, it encounters, as it's leaving, that second time, it encounters the other min. So there's no second weakening of the flavor. You're not going to have naparnat in such a case. You're not going to have naparnat is that the tam became such a tam kachush. So the strong, still somewhat strong milk and meat flavors are able to mix with each other, and that's going to aser it. If you look in Shuri Arav, in Simenayim Gimel, Os Aleph, he points out that that's not the correct explanation of the Rama. He does not think that's what the Rama means. It is what Tosa says, but it's not what the Rama means over here. And it prefers the second explanation, that which the Ran writes. He goes on, Uberan mevoratam hasheni shel Tosos bioser. He first quotes the second explanation of Tosos, and then how the Ran elaborates on it. And what the Ran says is as follows, that the plates are going to be aser even if they don't touch each other, even if somehow in the same pool of water, of boiling hot water, you have a milk plate and a fleshic plate, and they don't touch each other, it's still going to be aser. It's not because they're direct contact and they're going directly from one to the other. The reason is because the meat and milk flavors were only weakened once. The flavor went from the meat or the milk into the respective plates, and then when you put the plates in the vat of hot water, both flavors simultaneously enter the water without being weakened again in a power of food, and they instantaneously trafe up the water. Because if they're both coming into the water, they don't need to encounter each other in the other kelim. It's not that the tam from the milchig fork went into the fleshik fork. It's that the tam from the milchig and fleshik fork simultaneously went into the water. Whereas normally when you have naparnat, you had something that went into the pasta, and then, and only then, and at that point, it is now weakened, and then you could put cheese on it. But But if they both simultaneously go into the water without being weakened again in a part of food, so the whole thing's going to be treif, it's going to be basa b'chalav. So when you're cleaning your plates in such water, you're essentially cleaning your plates in basa b'chalav water, and the treif water is going to for sure make your plates aser. So that's the Taz's second explanation. That is the second explanation. Tosos, that is the Ran. The Shach explains Shulchan Aruch's Pesach is really only b'dieved, meaning. Even the Shulchan Aruch, who was more makel on this, right? We said that the Shulchan Aruch says, as long as you can guarantee me there's no ben, you got to say barili, you got to guarantee it. But if you can guarantee me that there's no ben, then it's perfectly good. So the Shulchan Aruch says the Shach and Sivkat and Tes is really only b'diavad, meaning you're not allowed to intentionally rinse milach and flesh and ben yomel dishes together. If they accidentally got rinsed together, so then they're going to be mutter. What's the raya? Because Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim, in Hilchos Pesach, in Tofnun Beis, Sif Beis, Shulchan Aruch paskens that you shouldn't do Hagala on Ben Yom Odari and Fleshing Dishes together. Hagala, you can't do Hagala on Dari and Fleshing Dishes together. So the question is, why not? So if the Shulchan Aruch allows not bar not, why can't you rinse the dishes together? So there are two explanations given by the Badei Shulchan and Sivkat Memtes as to why the Shulchan Aruch will be machmir in such a case. So he writes, V'dafka b'diavad avul chadchila ein ladiach ka'aros b'yorosh ha'in aminon v'yesh mefarsh matam b'zeh me'amachaber choshesh l'chadchila l'das ha'poschim shesovrim sh'adachas ka'aros lo choshev not bar not. Meaning, the mechaber's choshesh for what the Ramah says. That when you're rinsing all the plates, it isn't not bar not, because whichever explanation of the Taz you prefer. So the mechaber wants to be choshish for that lechadchila. V'yesh apir shatam neshel lechadchila ein ligrom hetera de not bar not. Or it could just be that you're never supposed to cause not bar not to happen. Meaning, first explanation is that the Shulchan Aruch is choshish for the explanation of the smag and the smack, the way the Taz said it, that in Sefer Truma, that washing dishes together is worse than not bar not, because it's all, it's never weakened by the time they encounter each other. They encounter each other in the water. Or the Shulchan Aruch and Sefalf holds that you're not supposed to cause not bar not intentionally, like the Shach himself said, and not like the Bedek Abayis and others. So you shouldn't intentionally clean dairy and flesh and ben yom dishes. Einachinami, it's not bar not. But don't do not bar not either. You're not supposed to create a situation of not bar not. Okay. Now, the Ramah over here in Siv Gimel, again, says that if you clean milch and flaging dishes in hot water, kli rishon, both sets of dishes are going to need to be kashered. You've trafed up the water trafes up the kelim, you have basa b'chalav all over the place, the whole thing is going to need to be kashered. However, the Ramah says, if one of these dishes is eino ben yomo, then everything's motir, except for the water. You got to get rid of the water, but the both sets of dishes are going to be motir, if one of them is eino ben yomo. So the Taz in Sivkat and Taz explains that the Ben Yomo plate can't become Aser because it's only absorbing Eino Ben Yomo Tam, and Eino Ben Yomo Tam doesn't Aser. The Eino Ben Yomo plate can't become Aser from the Ben Yomo plate because the two reasons to Aser the plates that we just spoke about from the Taz don't apply. Why will the two reasons to Aser the plates not apply? So let's chazer over. What were those two reasons? The first explanation was that when both, even in the case when both plates are ben yomo, so what are we worried about? That the plates are going to touch each other, and it's going to go direct. The flavor is going to transfer directly into from one fork to the other, from one plate to the other, without getting weakened along the way, and therefore it's going to become basa b'chalav. That doesn't work over here, because basa b'chalav is only a problem when you have two ben yomo flavors. If you have a ben yomo flavor that meets an eino ben yomo flavor, it doesn't create basa b'chalav. Ben yomo flavor enters directly into the eino ben yomo. There's no fusion of meat and dairy flavors in the eino ben yomo plate. So the flavor that entered the eino ben yomo plate is what? So you'll tell me, okay, good, but it's a ben yomo flavor that's entering the plate, right? So maybe it's not creating basa b'chalav, but it's a ben yomo flavor that's entering the plate. Meaning I have ben yomo fleshig dishes and eino ben yomo milchig dishes. So if my whole problem with ben yomo fleshig and ben yomo milchig dishes being put together is what? Is that they're going to touch each other, and by the time when they go directly from one to the other, it's time of basar, time of chalav joining together while it's still strong. Yeah, but if the tab in the milchik fork is Eino Ben Yomo, it's not, it can't do anything. It can't affect anything. So all the good fleshik tam can come in, but it has nobody to meet with. There's no tam chalav because it's all Eino Ben Yomo tam chalav. So you might tell me, okay, but then your milchik dish should be fleshik, right? But it can't be, right? Why is that not the case? Because that's not parnat. Meaning that's mamish, not parnat etera. Because it never had it's going into pasta. That milchig fork is like pasta. It's parv. Because it's Eino Ben Yomo. So when the fleshik tam comes in and meets up with it, it's meeting up with nothing. So it's like an aparnata tera. Only when both pots are ben yomo, the positive tam basar goes into the milchik pot, and that strong meat flavor doesn't have time to weaken because it comes in direct contact with the strong dairy flavor before it has time to calm down and to weaken and to fizzle out. So it becomes also right away. But when the dairy pot or fork or whatever plate is Eino Ben Yomo, and the strong basar tam comes into it, so it doesn't. It has nobody to meet. It doesn't meet any strong tam chalav. And if it doesn't meet any strong tam chalav, it just sits there and becomes naparnata tera, weakens and is nothing. So it doesn't need to be kashered. What about the second explanation? Yeah?
Would there be saying that according to the explanation of the two touch each other?
Yeah.
The Taz and Tzadi Dal and Zayin says it doesn't work for that explanation, meaning that the or to cook fleshigs in an Eino Ben Yomo milchig pot. So we say that Eino Ben Yomo pot should be trig.
When you cook fleshigs in Eino Ben Yomo milchig pot, that's fleshigs in Eino Ben Yomo milchig pot.
Right,
this is just in the same
time. No, I know, but maybe over here we're saying that if the two touch each other, so then that's as if it's one of those
things. No. It's not as if it's one. It's only as it, that's what I'm trying to say. It's only as if it's one no same time when it didn't have when upon entering the other kli, it immediately hits some. It encounters opposition. Right, the busser comes into the milchik fork and there's milchik waiting there for it. So it never had a chance to settle into the kli calmly. You know, to settle into the kli without creating a friction. If I cook fleshig and Eino Ben Yomo milchig pot, for sure I got a kasher for the pot.
But it never met any opposition when it reached in.
Yeah, but you have a fleshig pot now, and you want to use it, and you've been using it as milchig, so you can't take your milchig pot and just say, okay, I turned it into fleshig by cooking fleshig in it.
I think the Taz in Tzadi Dalet says, in Sivkot and Zayin, he says that this shows the Ramah really holds to that second reason.
Oh, yeah? I don't remember. Let's see. I hate the fact that the Shulchan Aruch I use here and the Shulchan Aruch I use at home have different Surah Sadafs. Tzadi Dal Zayin. Oh, she's Makal Shish Makal Shari Pisha Filim Shneb and Yaman. Of course, the Vita Rishim is inside Yasim Gimel. Al Yeshos and the Vashin Shem Nagar is Machas. Machanam Shem Naga Hakaf Beguf Hakadera. No, he's talking about the calf with the gufakadera. What's the case?
It's not the same case.
Yeah. Umamba will shishim, the mikomakum balas hakaf, avibotam sheni. What's the case over here? There's a gentleman talking about calf ben yomo. Right, this is going back on that case, right? The case of the where it's you're not cooking fleshes in the local part, right? It's you're cooking parv. In a let's say fleshik pot, and you have a milchik spoon, right?
Okay.
So he's saying, why aren't we concerned about direct contact between the two kelim in such a case, right?
Right. Yeah, I think I had it mixed up. Sorry.
Okay. Okay. So that's the first explanation. Second explanation was that what? That the water becomes treif. So that also doesn't apply, because the Eino Ben Yomo plate doesn't have strong enough flavor to make the water basar v'chalav. So the Ramah concluded that the water needs to be thrown out. So why does the water need to be thrown out? So the Achronim explain. The Shach and Sivkot Yudal, the Taz and Sivkot Yud, that since the water is balua mi basar v'chalav, even though one of them is Eino Ben Yomo, the water is Asr, because water is not really such a hefset. So, so you might as well throw it out. In the Chamudei Daniel in Os Chafei, he says even if both of the Kelim were Eino Ben Yomo, the water should be Asr. Because Nosin Tam of Gam is also the Chachila. So even though one of the plates is Eino Ben Yomo, so it's really not Basar B'Chalav, because it's a very weakened Basar B'Chalav flavor, you still throw it out because there's no hefset in throwing out water. Okay, that's the assumption. Then the Rama goes on to say that you're allowed to wash a fleishig pot or plate followed by a dairy pot or plate in the same hot water. Meaning, not when they're in the pot at the same time, one after the other. Because the two reasons to aser also don't apply. Well, the first one's easy, right? Why does the first reason to aser not apply? There's no chance that they're going to touch each other. They're not even in the water at the same time, so of course they're not going to touch each other. So they don't come in contact with one another. And the second reason, also pretty easy. The water doesn't become treif, because the whole reason the water becomes treif is that as soon as the blia leaves the fleishik fork, it's encountering blia that just left the milchik fork, simultaneously. But first you put the dairy plate in the water, and the water weakens the dairy flavor. So the water is not pranata atera. And then when you later put the fleishik plate in the same water, it's also not pranata atera, from the meat to the plate, from the plate to the water. There's no dairy flavor there anymore because it's already not pranata atera, so the dairy flavor is gone already. So when the flavors enter the water, they're both weakened and the water doesn't become treif. Badei HaShulchan says that this case of the Rama is only if the plates are clean, obviously. Right? But if a dairy plate that entered the water first had cheese residue on it, and then you put a clean fleishik plate in the same water, so then it's mixing dairy and meat together, and the plate's going to become aser, unless they're yafshishim, right? Obviously. That's a mistake. So then comes along the Rama, and he says as follows. Two more points of the Rama, and then we'll be ready to learn about actual washing dishes in actual places, you know, in actual homes and everything else. So comes along the Rama, and he says that everything we just said is only if the dishes are washed in a Kli Rishon. Oh, okay, so this is a game changer, right? They had a cauldron that they put on the stovetop, and that's how they washed their dishes. However, if the clean plates were washed together in a Kli Sheni, then both sets of plates are going to be mutter, even if the plates are B'nai Yomim. So you take a, you know, sometimes on Shabbos, you want to soak the dishes or whatever. You don't want it to get crusty and gross or whatever. So you prepare like hot water in a basin from before, and you just throw the dishes in the basin. So let's say you threw milchik and fleishik dishes in the same basin. What's the basin? The basin is something that you filled from the urn. The urn is a kli rishon, and then you emptied a bunch of water in the urn in a kli. So now it's a kli sheni. Milchik dishes, fleishik dishes, all mutter. So the Taz in Sifkat Nid Beis adds that even if the dishes were dirty, everything's going to be mutter. Ooh, meaning now everything's okay. Why? Because klisheni zeinu mevashon. It's also zeinu maflid veinu mavliya. Or it's certainly zeinu maflid umavliya. Meaning klisheni might have the capacity to do one thing, but it's not going to do both. It could take the meat flavor out of the meat and put it in the water, but it doesn't have the power to place that flavor into the milchik dishes. In Simen Sadi Dalit, back in the beginning, we learned the machlokas about a kli sheni. The Shulchan Aruch and the Rama held that a kli sheni can't be balei or maflit, and the Taz and the Marshal said a kli sheni can be balei or polit, but not both. Right? That could do one or the other, but not both. So even in our case, the dishes are going to be mutter, even according to the Taz and the Marshal, because the kli sheni might be able to remove, might, according to Taz Mashal, will be able to remove the meat flavor from the leftover meat pieces and put them into the water, but it doesn't have the strength to then take that meat flavor and put it into the dairy dishes. The Taz quotes the Mashal, though, that specifically in this case, the dishes will still be aser because we're worried that the meat will dissolve into a liquid and then it could enter directly into the dairy dishes without having its flavor first travel through the water. Taz is not machmir for that chashash of the marshal. That's a little bit much. So Rav Moshe then adds that since the be'en on the dishes is cold, so Rav Moshe says, wait a second, even according to Taz and marshal, What's the nekuda? What's the yisod of the Tazen Marshal? That a klisheni can't do two things. So we always say two things. Two things means balei or maflet, or maflet to balei or whatever, right? It can't do both. It can extract tam, can't deposit it somewhere else. Says Rav Moshe, there's a third thing that you need to have happen over here. When you have dirty dishes and you put it in the sink, the dishes are cold. So you need to heat up the dishes and then be balei or maflet. So says Rav Moshe, since the be'en on the dishes is cold, it would also, even the be'en is not going to be a problem, because by the be'en, it would need to heat it up, and that's it. It already did its one thing. The be'en would still need to do two things to create a problem. It would have to heat it up and then transfer it to the other. So, meaning, says Rav Moshe, there's no difference between extracting tam from one plate and then depositing it somewhere else, that's two things, and heating up cold be'en and then depositing it somewhere else. That's also two things. So Rav Moshe says you can have this kula even when the dishes are dirty. So this is l'maisa, because these things happen in a cliche. Your sink is clogged and the hot water faucet is off and the dirty fleshic plates are submerged in yad saledas by water. And then a milchig utensil falls into the sink. Right? You don't have like a big house with two totally separate sides of the kitchen. It's interesting, all the chumras that we were able to have when you have larger homes, you know, it was never the assumption. Someone called me just on Friday, right before Shabbos. A fellow in my shul whose parents unfortunately passed away, and they left the house. They have a house, so he's an only child, so he has an extra house now. So he's emotionally, he can't bring himself to sell it for whatever reason. So he's just got an empty house. So he's not even like a rich guy. Like, he could probably use the money, you know, but like he just can't bring himself to sell it. So he's got an empty house and he uses it for chesed. You know, a young couple needs a place to live. You know, like whatever. If someone from Israel is stuck here, so he just, you know, lets people live. So some of the whoever he gave his house to this past Shabbos called him up and said, which counter is milchig, which counter is fleshig? So he immediately, before he responded, he said, let me call you back. He calls me up. He's like, is there such a thing as a milchig counter and a fleshig counter? I never heard of that. Is that something that has to that you need to have? So no, I mean, you don't really need to have it, but you know, a lot of people do. You know, so we have all these. So you're in a cramped kitchen. You're in a small area, and there's and the sink is you got water piled up in the sink of that's yad saledes, which is also questionable. A lot of times depends who's doing the dishes, right? Usually, if a woman is doing the dishes, the water might be yad saledes. If a man's doing the dishes, like, no chance, the water is going to be yad saledes. Our hands are much more sensitive. I don't know why. But that's just typically the way it is. So your sink is clogged, hot water faucet is off, dirty fleshic plates submerge in the atzoledes water, and a milchig utensil falls into the sink. Halacha? All mutter, right? Ah, but the dishes are dirty, says Ramesh, I don't care. It's a klisheni. And the klisheni has the ability to maybe heat up the be'en on the dishes, but not to then deposit that be'en flavor into anything else. Wow. And then the Rama says, and this will be the last thing we do for today, that if you heat up water in a clean fleshig ben yom pot, and you pour the water, again, you heat up water, clean fleshig ben yom pot. You take a regular ben yom pot that you just cooked your chicken soup for Shabbos in, and you heat up water in it, and then you pour the water directly onto a clean dairy ben yom pot. So there's no actual flesh here, there's no actual dairy here, right? You're just pouring water directly from ben yom to ben yom. The dairy pot becomes aser, but the fleshic pot is mutter. Why? We're machmir and consider the meat flavor to go directly into the dairy pot, but the dairy flavor can't go up the stream of water and enter into the fleshic pot. So only the dairy pot becomes acid. What's the problem with this? Why should anything be acid? What happened over here? You had a fleshic pot, yeah? So what does that mean? There's no meat in the pot. It means that there's tam of basar balua in the dofnei akedera. You heat up water. What do you call that water? Naparnat, right? That's naparnat ateira. And then you pour that naparnat water onto a milchik pot. Didn't Rama say explicitly you could take your pasta and eat it on a milchik plate? And it's not even l'chachila. You could put it on a milchik plate. So the water shouldn't have strong enough fleshik flavor to asher the pot. And even according to the Rama, the dairy pot should be mutter because we're making with the oven by naparnat. So Badi Ashulchan explains maybe the Rama was just saying that it's best to be machmir because it's similar to washing dishes together. Meaning this is like he's still on the washing dishes topic, so he's just saying when something looks a lot like washing dishes, like it's just water that's going from one to the other. But the ma'isa one could be makel. If it's hafseder of Shabbos or whatever, for sure could be makel because it seems like a chumra al gabi chumra that the Rama is building over here. When it comes to naparnat. Okay, so that's the background. What we haven't discussed is modern sinks, and can you use one sink for both milchiks and fleishiks? To what extent do we say that everything's going to be naparnat anyway, and therefore it's not going to be a problem? Is it the modern sinks luchora misvara should be much better than the cauldron, right? Because the cauldron is a kli rishon, the modern sinks are not a kli rishon. Is that true? Modern sinks are not a kli rishon. What are they? They're not a kli rishon. So Pashto says, what's the kli rishon? The boiler, right? The water tank is the kli rishon. So what's the thing? Is Iroi. Okay, so then we get back to that discussion. Three shitos of Iroi. There's a chumra the chazanish that it's not called Iroi when it's coming straight from a kli shal gabayesh. But that chumra the chazanish we generally do not observe because that would mean that on Shabbos when you're making tea, if let's say you make like a shechter and like a salvation to make a tea in a cliche, right? So you would take the hot water out of the urn and put a tea bag into that cup. So according to the chazanish, that's a kli rishon because when it's coming directly from al gabia ish, that's still considered doesn't go down a level. Now it's a kli rishon shalom al gabia ish. So we generally don't assume like that, Chazanish. We assume, meaning everything, you're always a step behind, according to the Chazanish, whatever, or a step ahead, whatever you call it. You're always one kli different than you think. So, we'll have to say, what exactly is the chashash? Meaning, you have to think, is my sink going to be treif? Let's say your sink will be treif. Yeah, your sink will be treif. So what? Is there any chance of blios going from my sink back into my dishes once it's treif? Right, so you need a few steps over here. First, you need to convince me that the sink is treif. Then you need to convince me that the treif of sink is going to be able to be mavliya. It's time of the sura back into the dishes, right? Through an era. So we'll have to, and then dishwashers, of course. And also something to think about. I don't think anyone ever spoke about. Maybe we should think about. Someone must talk about this, whether the tankless systems still have a din of Iroi, or whether that has a din of Kli Rishon.
What system?
The tankless hot water systems.
What is
that? So, all the new hot water systems in people's homes, it's a big problem, by the way, for Yontif, there's no hot water tank in the house. There's a mechanism that as the water is coming out, it just heats up instantly through the pipes. So you don't have to have a space in your house for a hot water tank. The hot water tanks are big, like right before Shabbos when everyone's showering at the same time and all of a sudden, someone's screaming, "Why did you use up all that water?" In other people's homes, not in my house where everyone gets along beautifully, but like that things like that could happen, right? So with the tankless systems, you never run out because there is no hot water. It's just you're heating it when you turn the faucet; it heats it up on its way. Problem is, it's a great convenience, and you have more living space because you don't have to have a tank in your house. Problem is that every time you turn on the water, you're igniting a fire. So yontif, you have a real problem because you're being molded ash every time you turn on hot water. Whereas with a tank, you're not being melded ash. There's usually a pilot there that's and maybe making the fire bigger, but you're not being melded ash. So every once in a while, I just got the shayla last week also. Someone bought a house and they sent me the picture of their hot water system. They said, a couple in chinuch. You know, the husband's a principal in a yeshiva, and he's and the wife texted me and she said, "My husband said this might be a problem for Yontif. Is that true?" So I said, "Yeah, it's definitely a problem for Yontif. You have a problem." So so she said, "But we bought the house from people." Yeah, a lot of people are unaware. They're unaware that there's an issue. So what's the fix? Just agav, what's the fix? So there's always a fix, right? So probably, you know, people don't like the fix. Well, one fix might be, you know, Shachta didn't like any of my fixes, but I'm still not sure why not. One fix is to leave it running all Shabbos, I thought. Meaning, I thought, yeah, just have it like, not a drip, a slow stream. And I said, I don't know, you can have a plumber install a sink right next to the tank, you know, teeny sink, where even when it's on full blast, it just streams a little bit so that you don't risk flooding your whole house, you know. Just install it that way. And that way, it's at least it's a suffix whether the pilot's on. Probably the pilot will stay on for most of the time because it's constantly needing to supply water. So that's one eitza. The other eitza is to install a small tank so that it will only ignite the system once the water from that tank is used up. So every time it's a suffix, darshan miskavin. What was the other eitza? Oh, the other eitza, this people really don't like, is put the system on a timer where the system will turn off for like 10 minutes every hour. And then during those 10 minutes, that's when you can turn on your hot water. And then, 8 minutes later, the water will actually turn hot when the system kicks back in. And that's maybe a grumma. So again, Rav Shachter didn't like that either because that's not really a grumma. It's just a time delay of salvation. Called it needs to be another whatever. But anyway, those are the eitzes. Nothing great, you know. It's problem is that even the newer tank systems no longer have a pilot. So half the houses that even have tanks, they're not allowed to really use the hot water on Yontif. They just don't know. So there's a Jew from Montreal who came up with a fix for a couple of $1,000s. He could install the fix, but it's a good fix. He has a whatever. It's a couple. Not for now. But he has a haskama from Rav Binyamin Weiss, the brother of Rav Asher and the Yad Beis Din in Montreal. I wanted to get it. Actually, I wanted to get this guy's when I was in Montreal for a Shabbos by the Drazens. So by the Freundlichs, but you know, but the Jesus brought me in. But when I was in Montreal for a Shabbos, so Rabbi Freundlich showed me this guy's system, and I was like, "This looks amazing." He's like, "Yeah, it's really great. It empties out the whole tank right before Shabbos. You can use it on Shabbos. It empties out the whole tank right before Shabbos, and it sets it to below Yatzalah Dispo, so that." Whenever you're and it keeps the pilot on constantly, so you're never being moladesh, and you're never being mevashel. So you could use hot water, and on Yontif also it will just set it for Yontif that the pilot's on the whole time, and during the week it will function the way it's supposed to normally function, more energy efficient and green without a pilot going on the whole time. So I wanted to get it. I was like, this is fantastic. And then the plumber came to my house and he said, "No, you actually have an old tank that actually has a normal pilot light that stays on the whole time. The system's not going to work with it. So I have to wait till I can't spend all my money until the system breaks, and then we'll upgrade."
Is this a
permanent
halacha?
I don't know. It should be. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, we'll have to figure that out. What the status of tankless systems are. It's probably still the Rikli Rishon. Okay, we'll talk about it. Bez Hashem on Sunday. Okay. I'll see everyone.